message was given by brothers Israel Hsu, Frank Hong, and Peter Yui in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 15, 2016. The title of the message is The Golden Incense Altar and the Incense. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 through 38. John chapter 1, verse 14. Ephesians 2, verse 22, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, and John chapter 15, verse 16.
Lay out his purpose. We have been studying the picture of the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, and maybe the brothers can help us to put the diagram of the tabernacle on the board. I believe most of us are familiar with the first part of the book of Exodus. There, the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, and they were under the tyranny of Satan. They were under the tyranny of Pharaoh. And they were in a situation that they were enslaved. They complained. They had to make a living, and Pharaoh did not give them a good time. So they were in a condition of slavery. And Jehovah heard their prayer, and through Moses and through many mighty acts, brought them out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And especially through the blood of the Passover lamb, they were saved from God's judgment. And they were brought out of that land through the crossing of the Red Sea. And we've enjoyed that picture as a picture of God's salvation for his people. You know, the fallen people, we have to make a living in the world. But we actually, in God's eyes, are under the enslaving, the bondage of Satan. It may not be something sinful, but the world is a place where Satan wants to keep all of us from fulfilling God's purpose. So God brought them out and through the wilderness, but the book of Exodus did not stop in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. Eventually, God brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And also, God gave them the design of his dwelling place, which is this, their tabernacle. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so in the past month, we have been studying this tabernacle, which is a picture of God's house. And this is not a very complicated house. It has its furnitures, but every piece of the furnitures are very significant. And in the beginning, I just want to remind myself and remind all the saints, why are we studying this picture? We have to realize that this is not of human invention. This is something that came out of God's heart and God's desire. God saved his people in order that he would gain a dwelling place. We may be happy and satisfied that God has saved us from the judgment, from the world. But God's desire is that we will be built up into his dwelling place. Actually, his people are his real dwelling place. But in this picture of the tabernacle, we can see many items that signifies Christ. Christ is actually the reality of everything in the tabernacle. So, I just want to remind the saints, we're not just studying the physical aspects of all these things. We're not Jews. We're preparing to rebuild the physical temple in the land of Palestine. But our study of this picture is for us to realize Christ, to appreciate Christ as everything for God's building. And not only we enjoy Christ and see Christ and study Christ and appreciate him as the God's dwelling place, building Christ, but we need to endeavor, we need to pray to experience, to enter into the experience of everything that we've seen. No, Christ is the ark. We began with the ark about a month ago in our review. He is the embodiment of the triune God. He is the real testimony of God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, I don't know if the brothers have that verse. Let's read this verse together. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. No, this is a picture of Christ. Christ is the real tabernacle of God's dwelling place and of our dwelling place. He is the mutual dwelling place of God and man. And we also saw that He is the real showbread table. He is our life supply. He is the food that sustains us. He is the food that also needs to reconstitute us to express God, to be God's dwelling place. And He is also the light of life, signified by the golden lampstands. So as the more we see Christ, the more we need to appreciate Him. And the more we see this picture, the more we study this picture, we need to have a heart for God's dwelling place. You know, sometimes we, do you have a heart for this? You know, I had to check with myself this week. I've seen this before. I know what these are. But if we don't have a heart to get into all the significance of these pictures and aspire to experience Christ, then this becomes a test to us that do we have a heart for God's building? You know, God wants to gain a building, and we also need to have a heart for His building. And particularly as the serving ones, as the priests, we need to be involved with, you know, in the Old Testament, the priests are involved. Their whole life is to take care of this tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle. So today we need to focus on Christ, and we need to experience Christ for His building. And we need to see Christ, we need to become Christ, and we need to become the body of Christ, which is His enlargement and His expansion. So this week we have come to this little piece in the middle, which is called the Golden Incense Altar. It's a little altar with fire from the bigger altar in the outer core. But on this altar in the holy place is not a place to burn sacrifice. It's a place where the priest would come in and offer incense and burn incense as a sweet smelling fragrance to God. Amen. Okay, sorry. Amen. So this incense altar, you know, burning incense in the Bible is a picture of our prayer or prayer, because it's something ascending to God. As our prayer ascending to God. So in this picture of the golden incense altar, this incense altar signified Christ as the intercessor, to maintain the relationship between God and His people. Amen. We've read First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1. There it says that, I exhort you therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. We may think that we know prayer. Prayer is something we all know to do. Even some unbelievers, they pray. But we need to know that prayer, there are many kinds of prayers. There's a prayer that's general for our fellowship with the Lord. We talk to the Lord, we absorb Him, we enjoy Him, and that's something very basic. There's also a kind of prayer that's a petition. We bring our knee before God. But another kind of prayer is the prayer of intercession. And this is a prayer not just for ourselves. You know, too often I felt that I'm just praying for myself, for my own need. But we have to learn to pray for others. And here, Christ is the intercessor between God and man to maintain God, maintain a proper relationship between God and His people. I enjoy a footnote in 1 Timothy 2:1. A simple definition of the word intercession. Intercession, a Greek word, denotes an approaching of God in a personal and confiding manner. That is, an intervening and interfering before God and others of fear, for their benefit. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the universe, we have such a one. Amen. We have Christ as the intercessor. He is maintaining a proper relationship between God and us. And sometimes He has to interfere. He has to intervene in your affair that you would come forward to God, that you would be right with God. You know, many times when we pray, we have an expectation of certain outcome of what we should have or what we should be or what we need. But we need Christ's interceding prayer. He's prayed for all of us. And the fact that we're all here and that we have some heart to seek after Him and for His purpose, that is all because of Christ's intercession. He's interceding, caused us to be here. Praise the Lord. And we have to learn to pray this kind of prayer, to pray for others. There are so many who are still wondering outside. They don't know God. That's why we need to preach the gospel, that they will come to the cross of Christ to receive salvation. And many who have received the Lord, but they're still wondering, we also need to pray that they will experience Christ as their living bread. They will enjoy Christ as the light of life. So actually, in our experience, this incense altar is kind of like a motor that makes everything works, that motivates all our experiences in the tabernacle. Praise the Lord for this motor. I want to read a little something that I enjoyed this week. This altar signifies the interceding Christ, right? And this altar also shows us that we must pray. Isn't that your experience, that if you don't pray, everything seems to be at a standstill, or you have no interest? You know, the more we pray, the more we become active. So I want to read a little something. When we pray, everything works. Or let me start a little earlier. In our experience, we need to come to the altar, the laver, the table of the bread of the presence, the lampstand, and the ark. After we come to the ark in the Holy of Holies, we need to come back to the incense altar. The incense altar is not simply one of the items on the passageway through the tabernacle. On the contrary, it can be compared to a motor, which causes everything to operate. Hence, the incense altar stands by itself as a turning point. Again and again, we must come back to the turning point. This means that in order to experience any aspect of the outer court or the tabernacle, we need to pray. When we pray, everything works. When we pray, in our experience, the altar, the laver, the table, the lampstand, and the ark are all effective. However, when the motor stops, everything else stops also. When the motor operates, everything else operates. This is the reason that we need to have the motor, the interceding Christ, operating within us. We need to have a prayer life, a life of prayer. Saints, I believe we all know that we need to pray. But this week, through getting into this picture a little bit more, I really sense that there's a need, there's an urgent need for us to have a prayer life that can cooperate with the Lord for His move. No, the Lord is really moving. Since the beginning of this year, the brothers encourage us to trailblaze in many areas to increase and advance the testimony of the Lord in this city. And I must say, the Lord is answering that prayer. We've heard a report recently that the Lord is doing a lot of things in the church in New York City. Last week we had a conference on the gospel to all the nations. Right, the Lord has a burden to reach those of the African American and those of the African descent. And we've also heard that the Lord is doing something in South Brooklyn, also in Staten Island. The Lord is moving there through the migration of some of the saints, and they have a burden to meet and to reach many in that area. And last night, we had a gospel meeting in the Bronx. Hallelujah. And I have a sense that pretty soon we will have a district in the Bronx. And not only so, the Lord is also moving in all the age groups. The Lord is moving among our young people. Some of the young people, they, out of their own initiative, they wanted to have young people's meeting by themselves. And they're asking for serving ones, parents, to help them. But they have the burden not only to meet, but also to preach the gospel, share the gospel with their friends. So on the one hand, the Lord is moving. But on the other hand, we need to realize that the motor of this move is Christ's intercession. And we also need to enter into this intercession of Christ to pray with Him as His body. My very first car was a little four-cylinder Hyundai Excel. It's four-cylinder. So it's nice, when you drive. But once you reach high speed, 60, 70s, it starts shaking a little bit. It's a little overwhelmed for that little four-cylinder motor. And later on, I had another used car. It's an eight-cylinder Chevy Cutlass Supreme. And that is a sturdy car. One of the cylinders actually is not functioning, but when you're driving, you can go 60, 80, 90. You shouldn't be, but if you're driving very fast, you still don't feel that you're because the motor is built in such a way to match the speed of that in which you're traveling. And I just feel that the Lord is moving, and He wants to move faster and faster. With Him, there is no problem. But with us, if we don't enter into this experience of interceding for others, our motor is a little weak. We may feel a little overwhelmed with everything that's going on. Of course, there's a lot of activities. We need to continue to move, to do, to act, to carry out many activities in the gospel and also in caring for the new ones, to bring them onward from not only being saved, but being baptized and enter into the church life, to enjoy Christ, to start eating Him as the living bread, to be enlightened on, to see that they need to deal with a lot of sins in the world. We need to pray for all these matters that the Lord can move on. Amen. To build His church, that the church will be a real living testimony for Him. But for this, we need this kind of prayer. We need the experience of Christ at the golden incense altar. We need to enter into Christ's intercession, Christ's life, interceding life. Amen. Not only this kind of prayer is a kind of motor, but it's also the center of God's execution in His administration to carry out His government. Let's read Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, together. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. I was quite touched with the setting of this verse in the book of Revelation. You know, the book of Revelation is a book concerning God's economy. And not only the revelation of God's economy, but how God would execute His economy. And before the seven angels was given the trumpet to blow to execute God's economy, we have this picture of Christ as another angel coming and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. In order for Christ to carry out His economy, he is revealed here as the high priest before the golden incense altar. So this again shows that the golden incense altar is the place where it's the execution center for all God's judgment. So we all need to come to this golden incense altar. And not only Christ is praying, but we all need to pray. Our prayer, or the prayer of the saints here, are the golden censer, which is the container for Christ to add His prayer as the incense to God, so that God would answer that prayer. We need much experience in this. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ is the one who's praying, right? And there's no problem. Christ is the one who's praying. But today, we as the member of the body of Christ has died and resurrected and ascended. So today, the one who's praying is not only the individual Christ as the head. He needs all of us as members of the body of Christ to pray with Him. So here, the Christ we're praying is also the corporate Christ. We may realize that Christ, the one who is praying for us, He's interceding. Everything is under His government, under His control. But we need to realize that today we are a member of the body of Christ. So we need to learn to pray this way as well. And actually, I was very comforted or encouraged to see this as that. You know, we're not just learning to pray good prayers, that we will build up a proper prayers, that we will be a good person who can pray well. But actually, I am a member of the body of Christ. Christ needs all of us to enter into this kind of intercessory prayer so that His move can go on. So we need to see that it's not just a prayer for personal perfection. But it's a prayer for the Lord to move, to accomplish His purpose. Amen. So we need to learn to pray in Christ. Often our prayer is to God, right? But we need to learn to pray in Christ. Whenever we pray, we need to enjoy the Lord and enter into His mind so that we, you know, a lot of our prayers are natural prayers. But we need to pray in Christ and with Him as the incense to God. Now, in the record in the Old Testament, when it reveals this matter of the golden incense altar, it has a warning that we should not offer. Maybe we can read that. Exodus chapter 30, verses 6 through 9. Exodus 30, 6 through 9. And you shall put it before the veil that is over Ark of the Testimony, before the expiation cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn on it fragrant incense. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn a perpetual incense before Jehovah throughout your generation. You shall not offer any strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a meal offering. And you shall not pour a drink offering on it. So verse 9 shows us that there is a warning not to offer strange incense and not to offer strange fire. In Leviticus chapter 10, the two sons of Aaron offer their own incense with their own fire, strange fire, before God, and they were consumed. What are the strange fire? The strange fire in our prayer is to have some kind of motive that is natural and has not been dealt with by the cross. And to have the strange incense in our prayer is to have prayer that is not related to Christ. I have to confess, don't you, that many of our prayers are like this. It's natural, maybe not so much related to Christ. And it has some other motives, something else than God's desire is motivate us to pray. So we have to learn in our prayer not to pray according to our natural desire. You know, I was considering, you know, this year is the election year in the U.S. And often, you know, I heard that, you know, we need to pray for the government. We need to pray for the election. Yes, we do need to pray. But what kind of prayer will we offer when we pray for the election? A lot of our prayer may have nothing related to Christ. A lot of prayer may be motivated by our preference, by our thought. You know, politically, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. So I guess you can call me an independent, right? That is my political designation. But when it comes to praying for the election, there's no, you cannot pray as a Republican. Neither can you pray as a Democrat. Nor can you pray as an independent. You need to enter into God's feeling. If you do have some feeling to pray, you need to enter into God's feeling so that God will first show you what is His desire concerning the election. What's His desire concerning what He wants to do? Praise the Lord. So we all have much to learn. On the one hand, I just felt I'm so short in the matter of praying, interceding for others according to Christ interceding. But on the other hand, I really have the urgent sense that we all need to learn. So what can we do? We need to learn. We need to be open and willing to see this, to see that Christ is praying for us. And also, we need to become this kind of person be one with Christ, to pray this kind of interceding prayer that the Lord can advance in his move. Amen.
Because we're interested in physical matters. But this pattern is a pattern of God's building. And the church is God's building. So this is a pattern of God's church. And the greatest prophecy in the New Testament is Matthew 16:18. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this has very much to do with God's purpose here on the earth today. Amen. We really need to dive into this pattern. And I was also reminded when Brother Peter mentioned this is God's design. There's the verse in Isaiah 55, verse 9, where the Lord says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So if you think you know how to pray, the Lord has a higher thought. The Lord has a higher way. What we're talking about this morning and this whole past week is not just that we need to pray. Yes, we need to pray. But we need to pray the prayers that are satisfying to God. If you look at what is the produce, what is the product of this tabernacle? What does it produce? It produces a sweet-smelling savor. So you imagine the Father there in the heavens, he breathes. And what does he smell? He smells the fragrance from the two altars. The altar of the burnt offering, where there is Christ as the unique sacrifice for sins and trespasses. That burnt offering produces a sweet-smelling savor. If you know how to grill or barbecue, you know that savor. It's wonderful. But there is another savor that is not for us and only for him. That fragrance is from the second altar, the altar of the incense offering. So this is also part of the fragrance that satisfies God. So by this we can see that yes, incense signifies the prayers of the saints. I think many Christians realize that. But they don't realize that the incense is something that has to satisfy God.
That's right.
And that means that that incense is nothing natural. It has to be Christ himself. And only Christ himself. Because God is only satisfied by Christ. So, I'll divide my speaking in two parts. Well, the first is to discuss what is the incense and why is it Christ? And then the second part is how do we get that incense and how do we get to the incense altar? That is, how do we attain to a life of prayer, of intercessory prayer? It's not an easy thing, but there is a way.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read again the verses from Exodus 30. Verses 34 and 35. This is the recipe for making the incense. It's actually in the same chapter. The same next to it is the recipe for the holy anointing oil. So they're related. Let's read verses 34 and 35. Okay, so here you can see that there are three spices plus one spice. Three, of course, is the number signifying the Trinity, the triune God. And then you have the three stakti, which is a kind of myrrh, refined myrrh, which in the holy anointing oil is also there, signifying the sweetness of Christ's death. And because myrrh and stakti are produce of a plant, the sap of a tree, it is Christ's generating life and the death of that life. Then you have the second one, onycha, which is the shell of an animal that lives in the Red Sea. So this shell, I suppose, was crushed and added to this this incense. This signifies the death of Christ through the crushing, but it's the animal life, which is the redemptive aspect of Christ's death. And then the third, galbanum, is also from a tree, and it is a more pungent fragrance or spice, not edible like stakti is. So it also signifies the death of Christ, but it's power. Then you have those three plus the one. It's interesting that the Lord doesn't just say in his word four spices, but he says three plus the frankincense. So you cannot ignore this number three, which is the number for the triune God as well as resurrection. The one, of course, is frankincense, and frankincense in the word is the sweet resurrection of Christ. So then you have 3 plus 1 is 4. 4 is the number of creature, specifically humanity. So now you have the divine and the human. You have Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. And you have the entire triune God who is embodied in Christ. This is the incense. The incense is not just our prayer, but the incense is our prayer with the triune God, with divinity and humanity, and with the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, ascending to God for his satisfaction. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
That is a way that is higher than our way, a thought that is higher than our thought. Then, of course, the next verse 35, mentions seasoned with salt. And we read the verses this week that mention that you are the salt of the earth, and if the salt becomes tasteless, then how can we salt? So the salt is an element that kills the germs and preserves the freshness. So we need our experience, we need the killing work of the salt to remove the sin nature, the satanic things, and we need the preserving of the salt. Amen. Then let's read verse 36. And you shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you, and it shall be to you most holy. So this verse mentions that some of it will be beaten and then set in front of the testimony. This indicates that in our experience, we need to blend all these spices together. They need to be beaten together and blended into one. We need to endeavor to experience the triune God, to experience the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. In Philippians 3:10, Paul says, to know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So that indicates that Christ's death and resurrection are not just attainments, not just things that he did. They are for our experience. And as we experience these things, we gain this incense that is pleasing to God. So how do we obtain this incense and approach the second altar, the golden incense altar? When you consider this pattern is an illustration of the Christian journey. You know, many Christians realize that life is a journey, and specifically the Christian life is a journey. I don't know if they have a map. I don't know if they know where they're going. Maybe some think they're going up there somewhere. Brothers and sisters, we have a map. We know where we're going. And that is why we love this diagram. We love this pattern. All Christians, all believers have started on this journey, and they've started with enjoying the redemptive death of Christ at the first altar, the altar of the burnt offerings. And even this morning at the Lord's table, we continue to enjoy this matter, that we are washed in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord for his redemptive death.
Amen.
And some Christians have proceeded on to experience the washing water of the Spirit in the Word at the laver. And a few Christians have proceeded on to enjoy the Lord as their food at the showbread table and enjoyed the Lord's light in his Word as signified by the lampstand. But saints, we need to go on all the way.
Amen.
From the showbread table and the lampstand, the next destination, the next stage, the next step is to enjoy the Lord's direct presence in the Holy of Holies at the Ark. And you may say, well, that is the best. That is the ultimate. Well, certainly, we should, and it is a joy to experience the Lord's glory. But the Lord has a purpose that is not yet fulfilled. He has an administration to be carried out on earth. And so for that, he needs men. He needs us to cooperate with him, to intercede with him at the incense altar. That is why we consider the second altar, the golden incense altar, as the last, as the destination. After we enjoy the Lord's presence, in that presence, he imparts to us his heart's desire, what he really wants. And how can then we then help but join in him in prayer for this heart's desire to be fulfilled? That is the prayer at the incense altar. Through all the process, from the first altar, through the laver, the showbread table, the lampstand, the ark, we become a people who have been constituted with Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. We have been raised with Christ. We have enjoyed Christ as our food and as our light. We have enjoyed Christ, his direct presence. That makes us a people who have been constituted with the triune God. And then our prayers are not just words. Our prayers are Christ. This is also vividly illustrated in Revelation. We read some of the verses already, but let us read them again. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints. Golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the angel before God. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake. Two things to note here. One is that when the smoke of the incense went up, then there was a consequence. And that is the fire from the altar was cast to the earth. And then many things begin to happen. Actually, if you read on the succeeding verses and the succeeding chapters, you can see a lot of things happen because of the incense. So the incense is directly related to the carrying out of God's administration on the earth. Then the second thing to note here is that in verse 3 it says, much incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints. This indicates not only is the incense signify the prayers of the saints, the incense is something a little bit different from the prayers of the saints, right? So that means when we pray, it is not just words going up. We need the incense. We need the triune God. We need the death and resurrection of Christ worked into our being. Let's also read Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which bowls are the prayers of the saints. So here again we see that the incense is contained by something which is called bowls, i.e. prayers of the saints. Our prayers are the vessels to contain the thing that satisfies God, Christ. Our prayers need to be full of the process triune God, full of Christ's death and resurrection enjoyed by his people. This is a high way. This is a high thought. May we endeavor to experience Christ so that we can have this kind of prayer, the prayers that can contain the Christ that satisfies God. So, how do we get there? Sometimes I feel, Lord, I am just not able to do this. And I just appreciate that, again, we have the way. The Lord provides the way. And it's a matter of living a life between the two altars. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are fallen. Yes, there's corruption. But there's the offering at the burnt offering altar. We have Christ as our unique sacrifice. We have Christ as the sin offering, the trespass offering. We have Christ as our burnt offering, as our meal offering. All of these offerings at the first altar terminate all the negative things, even terminate our natural being until we are burnt to ashes, right? That makes us qualified to be the bearers of Christ, to proceed into the tabernacle and to eventually offer these prayers at the incense altar. I was encouraged by these two altars are connected, which means that in our experience, we cannot have one altar without the other altar. We would not dare to come to the incense altar without having the full experience at the burnt offering altar. The three things that connect these two altars, one is the anointing oil, which we haven't covered yet, but there is an anointing oil, which is an oil that anoints everything in the tabernacle, including the two altars and all the other furnishings. This anointing, if you think of an oil and how it moves, it signifies God's move, and it also signifies the Spirit. So this anointing oil anoints both of the altars. The second thing is that the blood that was shed outside the tabernacle at the burnt offering altar was brought into the tabernacle by the high priest, and that blood was sprinkled on the four horns of the incense altar. So there's the connection of the blood. We cannot come to the incense altar without the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord for such a way. Amen. Then the third thing that connects these two altars, of course, is the fire. The fire from the altar, the burnt offering altar, was the fire that came from heaven, directly from God. That's why Brother Frank mentioned strange fire. Strange fire is basically any fire that didn't come from God from in heaven. So the not strange fire is the fire that was always burning on the burnt offering altar. This is the same fire that was brought via coals by the high priest into the tabernacle for the incense altar. So the fire signifies the impulse, the energizing of the divine life. You feel you don't have the capacity or the energy to come to the prayer, intercessory prayer? Well, there is a divine life in you. We as Christians have the fire of God. And this same fire is what the Lord described in John chapter 2 when he was cleansing the temple. It was said of him that the zeal for God's house consumed him. This is the fire that causes us to love the building of God, the house of God, the church. You feel like, well, I don't have, my heart needs to be larger. I don't have that much capacity to care for the church, for God's concerns. But yes, you have the fire in you. Amen. And this fire, you may say, well, it's not that bright, it's not that big. There's a beginning point, and that is you just need to enjoy Christ as your unique offering. When you enjoy him at the first altar, at the entrance, you get that fire. You get that love because Christ died for us.
Amen.
You get that life because of Christ's death. And that all of these experiences of the tabernacle propel us eventually to the incense altar. So yes, it is a weighty thing to join the Lord in intercessory prayer. It is a holy thing, and it is not trivial, but it is our destination. And all of us as Christians have this path. And as it is with all Christian experience, it's a cyclical experience. So this path from the first altar to the second altar, it's a description of our whole life, yes. That is, when we're first saved, we do have a beginning at the first altar. And as we grow and mature, we progress through many years, through stages, eventually to reach maturity, to be able to intercede for others. But it is also a map of our daily experience. So if you are a young Christian, you should not excuse yourself. But every day, we should proceed through this map. We should begin our day with coming to the Lord to claim the washing of his blood. We should begin our day with enjoying the washing of the water in the Word and enjoying the Lord as our food and as our light. We should come into his presence and live in his presence through the day and be strengthened so that we can intercede for others. This is our daily path, and this is the path for our whole life. I'd just like to close with Psalm 84. This is a wonderful psalm on the appreciation of the tabernacle. And if we could read Psalm 84, verses 1 through 3.
How lovely are thy tabernacles,
O Jehovah of hosts. My soul longs, indeed even faints, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. At your two altars, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God. Amen. So again, you may not feel like you are a super Christian. Don't worry. If you are just a little bird, a swallow or a sparrow, then we need to make our home in the tabernacle among these two altars. The home is a place of rest, and the nest is a place of refuge. So these are not things we should be afraid of, but we should make our home and our nest among these two altars, enjoying the Lord's redemptive work, enjoying the Lord as life, and then entering into this life of intercessory prayer. Amen. May the Lord work this out among us. Be encouraged. Let us endeavor to follow this map every day of our life. Amen.
Amen. picture worth a thousand words. When I was beginning to learn English, my English teachers gave us a lot of pictures to describe how the picture, what do they say. But they never showed me this picture because this is too simple. They always give us very complicated pictures for us to explain what's going on in that static picture. So here is, even though it's a static picture, but it is always in motion. Our brother a few weeks ago used four words, okay, because time is short. I will cut my sharing very short. Okay. He used there and here. He used then and now. I will put it in motion. Because we look at this static picture, we may say that's then. Because these are all types. Our brothers are sharing, they are all types of what our Lord, his plan is. And what he has carried out, his plan, in the Old Testament. And how he's planning to carry out the plan in the New Testament. He carried it out in himself. Now how he carried out in the church. So this picture is very rich. If I take 2 minutes to match this picture with something you're very familiar with. For example, from the outer court, you see the altar of burnt offering. There, if you connect with John 1, when Baptist John, pointing to our Lord, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That's where our Lord is being offered at the altar. Where it was carried out in John 19, on the cross. So that's where Psalm 2 was describing the experience of our Lord at the altar. Now that picture is very clear. But that picture, many of us will experience or have experienced or experiencing repetitively from time to time with given situations. In John 3 and 13, we saw the experience of the laver, where we need to be washed, where our Lord washed his disciples. That's our experience too. Once we move in, we come to the table of the showbread. We see in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, our Lord, he said he is the living bread. He came down from the heavens, so whoever takes him shall not be hungry again. And in John 8, we can see, or also John 1, he is the true light. In John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world." Amen. Brothers and sisters, you can see all the experiences. Our Lord himself is the tabernacle himself. That's why in John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh, tabernacled among us, full of grace and reality." Brothers and sisters, this picture, as a matter of fact, is a blueprint of God's economy, is a blueprint of our Lord's experience, and is the roadmap, we can say it's a GPS map, for you and I. You can see the glorious hope is the Holy of Holies. It's the Ark. Where is the Ark? It's in John 14, 15, and 16. You can check it yourself, okay? How do you reach there? It's John 17. That's where the golden incense altar is. Our Lord's prayer, even though we always quote Matthew 6, our Lord said, "You shall pray this way." But he himself, that prayer in John 17 is being offered as golden incense altar prayers. And that should be, a model of the prayers we should offer. All other prayers are subpar, or pretty low, or below the standard. Particularly you and I, many years of our prayers, at most of them are in the outer court. Very few can enter into the holy place to be really one with the Lord. Even many times when we conclude our prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus, I mean, what does that mean? That means you and the Lord are truly one. You are praying in His name, which means your prayer and His incense are mingled as one. If your prayer is not mingled as one, you're just trying to pray and hold our Lord's hand to say, Lord, sign here. I mean, you write a contract already. You say, Lord, this is my contract. Would you sign for me? Here's my signature. I finished. Now in your name. I mean, we are forcing the Lord many times. So this is a golden incense altar, brothers and sisters. This is the crucial, crucial place. He uses a car. And when we first got here, a friend of mine, he bought a used car. He wanted to travel around the U.S. He's a gutsy guy. He bought a used car. You know, he wanted to disassemble every part. So we took apart the whole engine, every part, and cleaned everything. And I put it back together, that one extra parts. So we had to take it apart again because we don't know what it is. So, reassembled, fill up a gas, but you need that key. If you don't turn on the key, the engine doesn't start. The car doesn't move. So that golden incense altar is the engine and the key. The whole God's purpose, His move, need that to start. Brothers and sisters, you are that person can help to start that engine. Well, you see the Daytona 500. I don't know if you watch that, okay? When I was not a Christian yet, I liked that Indy 500, okay? And I always liked that. Gentlemen, start your engines. Oh, that part was cool, huh? Start your engines. Actually, our prayers at the incense altar is to be one with our Lord to start that engine. And think of, as a prayer, we should say, gentlemen, start your prayers. Brothers and sisters, start your prayers. Our brother used then and now. I have two sentences I want to be checked, okay? I'll read to you. I like those four words. The four words he used, now I put it into two sentences. There and here. From there to here. That's the anointing oil. That's the process and the consummated triune God. From there to here. From Mount Hermon, come to Zion. And from here to there, that's the incense altar. I'm connecting those two words together. Then and now. Today, we are bring then to now. We are bring then to now. So this is all in motion. And now, we are moving now to our daily living. Brothers and sisters, the conclusion is, doesn't matter how we study the picture, we need to put in our daily practice. Prayer life is the simplest for anybody to do. You can pray kneeling down in your closet. I have done that many times. You can pray in your living room. You can pray with somebody else. You can pray while driving. You can pray while taking bus, taking subways, taking a walk, whatever you do. Seems like the prayer should be the simplest practice for a Christian. But anything is the simplest, is the hardest. You know, in science, there's an idiom called Occam's razor. I don't know the Chinese, okay? It's Occam's razor. Because Occam was a dear brother. He studied the Bible. He's a Catholic monk. He found out that our God is very simple. Isn't this simple? Would you live in an apartment with this few furnitures? I went to a saint's home this past Thursday, and I have a home meeting. I said, she said, look at my apartment, my studio is so simple. I said, your living is still more complicated than God's. Our Lord's living is very simple. Outdoor kitchen, right? Outdoor washing place. A small dining table with the bread. But the light is pretty good. The light is pretty good. And there's a place burning incense. Brothers and sisters, this is how simple it is. There, he's very simple. That's why even the Israelites felt this God is too simple. They felt a visible golden calf is probably better than this. Brother and sister, this is where the strange fire, strange incense many times comes in. We need to be simple. We need to be really turned to a singular and a sincere and a pure heart. That's why blessed be the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The simplest is the best because our God is a simple God. So, brothers and sisters, our prayer, you don't have to say too much. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 6. Don't mumbo jumbo too much. Just come to the point. Many times I use the Chinese acupuncture as an example. What do you call that? Just puncture that right spot. That needle in will take care of so many problems. You don't have to poke everywhere. That's our prayers. But petition, connect with the Lord. Lord, what do you want? I forsake all what I want. What all my personal interest, what all my motivation, everything, put it aside. Burn it in that altar. Lord, I just want your interest. Anything you desire, I'm willing to give it all. Brothers and sisters, this is where the golden incense altar desires. This is where when our Lord in Revelation 8 walks in with a golden censer, went to the Holy of Holies, and come out, added so much incense to the prayers of the saints. And then the fire of that altar was added, and he cast to the earth, and bring in all those actions. Brothers and sisters, our prayer can be earth-shattering. Our prayers can be earth-shattering. Do you believe? Because our Lord said, if you have a faith, even as big as a mustard seed, he did not say as small as mustard seed, because we even don't have that much faith. If you have a faith, even as big as a mustard seed, you command this mountain you shall move from here to there. From here to there. Command the tree. Pluck out. Plant in the ocean. It shall be done. So that golden incense altar, brothers and sisters, don't think it as a common, regular, you know, what we have been practicing. We do hope through this, you know, simple sharing, we're uplift our prayer life. We're uplift the standards of our prayer offered at the golden incense altar. In our church life, the Lord is moving in New York City. He's moving all over the earth, moving all the nations. But the prayers offered in the golden incense altar is in great need, in great desire. Brothers and sisters, we do hope that prayers in New York City, in the church in New York City, will be one with the Lord's heart desire, be one with His move, to be compassionate with what He's longing for in the church in New York City, even in all the local churches, what His heart desire is. That a prayer needs a sacrifice. Because if we don't go through the first altar, we have no way to enter into the holy place. We needed to sacrifice so many personal interests, so many things for ourselves. I mean, that's not to say you don't care about your family, this and that. But if you put what the Lord's interest ahead of what your need is, our Lord's word is also, He already said, petition for His kingdom and His righteousness first, and the rest shall be added to you. Even before we open our mouths, He already know what's our heart desire is. You don't have to pray for those things, but pray for His interest on the earth, in New York City. Brothers and sisters, this is where I will stop here now, because from there, we need to really, from here, send our prayers there in order to bring more from there to here. From then, we need to bring then His heart desire, carry it out, make it practicable in now. And from now, to turn it into our daily living, daily walk, to offer these prayers, to mobilize, to start your key. Start your engine. Start our prayers, and start the engine. So praise the Lord. May the Lord really guide us through the experience by going through the altar, being washed, enjoy Him as a living bread, being shined upon by His golden lampstand, and to move forward, come before the seat, the throne of grace, and before then, offer the incense to our God with His Son, our Lord Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, we'll stay together, and since we were putting those two microphones out, and any saints want to share, you can come out. Amen.
Praying is just talking to God, and this is true. You know, I was this matter of the incense. It's something that's seasoned with salt, and with the blueprint, we see that it is not something you can't just parachute into the holy place and start burning incense. You'll probably get zapped. You have to follow the map. And the first thing that has to happen is we have to lay our hands on Christ at the altar for the burnt offering. That means that everything is burnt to ashes.
Amen.
We're not there's nothing left there, but it's just Christ, and we're laying our hands on Him. So we're not bringing our own agenda to the incense altar, but our natural being is just already burnt to ashes. And the fact that the incense is seasoned with salt, that typifies the cross of Christ. So we are crossed out. Our self is terminated. Why? Because the Lord needs our cooperation He has limited Himself to this principle of incarnation. In order for Him to accomplish something, He needs men on the earth to pray, to say amen, to cooperate with Him. And this week I was considering, you know, Brother Benjamin, about 10 years ago, he started noticing that a lot of the elderly saints have been passing away, and they have been faithfully carrying out the prayer ministry. You know, many of you know my grandmother passed away last night, and she was a person of prayer. And you know, on the one hand, I miss her dearly, and I especially miss her prayers that definitely covered us. But you know, the Lord reminded me that my view should not be so narrow. That her prayer was something that was, I believe, was something that was at the golden incense altar. That she was one who sought first the kingdom and His righteousness. And in all of these matters that in which she prayed, she was seeking first the kingdom, seeking the Lord's will and to be accomplished in each of these matters. And I feel, you know, just being reminded of Brother Benjamin's sharing in this regard, and you know what's been happening. I just feel that there's acute sense that we need more. We need to be more trained to be these spiritual warriors at the incense altar.
Amen.
He needs the prayers to cooperate with Him, so that He can do what is on His heart. You know, we see that the Lord is moving, but in order for Him to maintain this move, He needs our prayers.
Amen.
And not the ordinary prayers, but the prayers that are seasoned with salt.
Amen.
The prayers that are saying amen to what the Lord desires.
Amen.
So just deep in my being, I just want to give myself. Lord, I want to learn how to pray in this way. I want to learn how to pray to move Your hand.
Amen.
I want to know Your feeling, to pray in this way, so that these prayers would execute God's will on this earth. Right? This is the Your kingdom come. This is the Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as the church here, we are standing here in this city to say amen.
Amen.
What the Lord has willed, amen.
Amen.
It will be done in this city.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
May the Lord raise us up
amen.
To pray.
Amen.
Pray in this way
amen.
So that He can accomplish His desire on the earth.
Amen.
Since Brother Peter is almost covered what I try to share, so that's why I couldn't share it very short with English. Otherwise, your Chinese longer. Since the winter training, two things is surrounding our thinking. One is the oil, anointing. The other one is incense. So, praise the Lord. The holy anointing oil significance is Christ as the all-inclusive spirit coming to us from where? From God. Uh-huh. Yeah. Another thing is, where is the incense? Significant Christ at going to God from us. Uh-huh. I really love Peter share is there, here, just Nani, Zuri. We really got it from there. Uh-huh. We really going to from here. Uh-huh. Oh, enjoy the Lord. Uh-huh. This our Christian experience. Mm-hmm. This traffic, our daily life.
Amen.
Really, it's no matter how long you stay, this our daily life. Receive from there, going there. From here, going there. This our whole life. We enjoy, no matter where we go. In Anaheim, Texas, now in New York City. We still keep this kind of daily life.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless the church in New York City.
Amen. Praise the Lord. For the golden incense altar, the Lord needs our prayer. I enjoyed that 1 Timothy 2:1 say, the Lord said, I exhort you to petition, prayer, intercession, thanksgiving with the behalf of all men. He needs all men to save, to come to the whole knowledge of the truth. So we need to pray, but ourselves need to be constant, be enjoying, be drinking, be the kind of life that we can pray for. I can testify in the home meeting, many times the new one come in, I take a responsibility, I pray for them, and they all say, I didn't do nothing. I just put their name in my heart and pray to the Lord. And one by one, they just say. Just so simple, because the Lord needs us to pray to move him, to operate. He will operate. When we move him, he will operate. And the motto with the beginning to move. This is our responsibility. So it's not just once or day by day. You need the Lord's anointing to what you need to pray. The brother just said, we need the Lord's kingdom to become and his will be done. So many items we need to pray. We not just pray for the funny things, but we have to pray in Christ to Christ. But in Christ to Christ, you have to constitute by his word and have his knowledge and have a right revelation about what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
When I was listening to this message, my heart is full of appreciation. Say, oh Lord, I do understand this. Oh, our heart is echoed with those. We do have this desire to pray such kind of prayer, to present the incense, the smelling fragrance for the God. Amen.
Saturday, 9:30 to 12, have a time of fellowship with all those who are serving children, young people, and the parents.